الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, the Muslims are primarily divided into three kinds of Muslims. Each one of us here is one of three. Either someone whose heart is sound, it is healthy, it is pure. And I'm not speaking about the heart as in the organ. I'm speaking about the heart as in that where faith resides, the place where faith resides. A person whose heart is sound and he knows it. He knows the nature of the relationship with his master. He knows what is expected of him, how he's supposed to do it, when he's supposed to do it, and why he's supposed to do it. And these are a minority. The second group of people are those who have a disease in the heart and recognize it. They know there's something wrong. I mean, come on. After months and years of hearing the reminders and no change, there must be something wrong. They realize it. They may strive to rectify their condition, or they may neglect it altogether. And that's still a problem, and that is the majority. The third kind, which I hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not make any one of us among them, is the one whose heart is dead, he's distant from his Lord, and he doesn't even know it. Does not even know that there's a problem. You speak and you preach, and you get nothing in return. The person has been expired for some time. There's no hope in them being given life again, unless Allah wills otherwise. And Allah Azza wa Jal guides those who seek guidance from Him. This is the reality. So let us do an evaluation. Which one of these three are we? Each one. If we are among the first, then all praise is due to Allah. If we are among the second, then this khutbah inshallah shall serve a purpose in order to rectify the condition. And if we are among the third, then I can only ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us, or that person amongst us, including myself, a heart which is alive, which is willing to hear the reminder and act accordingly. But let us deal with the second kind of people. We know there's a problem. We just don't know how to fix it. Or we don't have enough strength to fix it. And the reason why many Muslims fall under this category of people is because of a misunderstanding about a particular teaching in Islam. Not even a teaching, let's call it a concept. A very profound concept. You've heard it in Arabic many times. In fact, you say it every single day at least 17 times. What is that? Ibadah. And the derivative which is used in the Fatiha is Na'bud. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Now when we translate this to English, we have a problem. The English language is not like the Arabic language. And the Urdu is not like the Arabic. And the Hindi is not like the Arabic. And the Tagalog is not like the Arabic. In fact, there's no language like the Arabic. Subsequently, Allah chose it to be the language of the final revelation. The one that people cannot tamper with, change, alter. So what does ibadah really mean in Arabic? It is not only worship. In English we say, it is only you we worship, and it is only you we seek aid from. Guess what? That is half of the meaning. And perhaps we can say the lesser in importance in comparison to the other meaning, which the majority may not even know. Then what is the other connotation? What is the other indication of the word ibadah? Let me give it to you in the most scary terms. It is slavery. Slavery. That one becomes a slave. Now the term slave is not very popular in this day and time, because upon using this term, the average idea that comes to mind is white people enslaving black people or some other nonsense which Islam doesn't entertain in any way, shape or form. It's usually races enslaving other races. Something that is quite nonsensical because of skin color. Because of skin color, even if they are of the same faith. But let us give it a new definition in the Islamic context. There is a slavery in Islam, but that slavery is to Allah. And slavery to Allah is not like slavery to humankind. When one race enslaves the other, it is natural and expected that the second, the latter, will be oppressed. The one that is enslaved will be wronged. They will be oppressed. There will be prejudice. There will be discrimination. And there is no justice. They can't get their rights. Even if they tried. Even if they strove. Even if they took their case to the United Nations. No one will be able to do anything for them. Because in this day and time, it's all about power. You got power, you do whatever you like. People like it or they don't like it, that makes no difference to the people of power. Something which we used to have as Muslims, but we lost because of misunderstanding ibadah. Brothers in Islam, it is one thing to worship Allah. It is another thing to be a slave of Allah. Many Muslims worship Allah. But guess what? So do the Christians sometimes. So do the Mushrikeen sometimes. At some point in time, they may call on Allah. A Christian may get tired of calling on to Jesus if he's not getting anything, and he will call on to the Father, which he considers to be the Father of Jesus. We know this is Allah. He calls on Allah. The Quraishis, during the time of hardship, the own tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time of hardship and difficulty, they will call upon Allah. And when the times were easy, they will call upon Al-Lat wal-Uzza and their gods, their false deities and idols. You may come across any kafir on earth, and he may worship Allah at some point in time, but does that make him a Muslim? No. No, no, no. Worshipping Allah alone does not permit you into Islam. What allows us into Islam is slavery to Allah, which will manifest in worship. Very important topic and concept. Let us evaluate ourselves. How many people worship Allah? Everyone here now. Now you are engaged in an act of worship. Listening to the khutbah is an act of worship. This is why I've been telling the brothers, Ya Akhi, pray. Because repeating after the muadhin is a sunnah. And listening to the imam is an obligation. And whenever it is time you have a conflict between obligatory acts and voluntary ones, you give priority and precedence to the obligatory ones. So you pray even though he's calling the adhan, so you could finish at least on time to hear the khutbah and not the other way around. But this is an act of worship. You are worshipping Allah by just listening, and you don't have to put any action into that. Anyone can do it. But as soon as we leave these two doors, Which one of us remains a slave of Allah? Not that many. As soon as we go back out there, if we start engaging in sins, in negligence, in turning away from the teachings of Islam, then we are not slaves of Allah, even though we were worshipping Him. And that does not constitute the requirements for paradise. It doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. One may worship Allah all his life. If he was never a slave of Allah, then Jannah was not made for those who are too arrogant to enslave themselves to the Lord of the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? That means when we drive, we are slaves of Allah. And when we speak, we are slaves of Allah. And when we deal in business transactions, we are slaves of Allah. Every single moment of our lives is governed by Islam. When we reach this point, then in fact, we have become slaves of Allah. Until then, we're just worshippers. And worshippers will do, worship will do nothing if it is not based on slavery to Allah. You may be wondering, how do I know whether I'm a slave or not? I think I am. I believe I'm a slave of Allah. I love Allah. I listen. I obey. Fair enough. I hope inshallah we're all among those. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala had defined it in simple terms. There are five fundamental qualities that if we have, then we could understand truly the concept of slavery, and consequently we can consider ourselves slaves of Allah. Five things. I will put them together in order for myself and you to remember them in the acronym or abbreviation LOTS. L-O-T-S-S. LOTS, double S. We need a lot of that. What are these five things? L stands for love. We cannot be slaves of Allah if we don't love Allah. And loving Allah is not something that one just says with his mouth. Loving Allah is something that one lives in his life. And we may be very good at doing the first, but quite terrible in doing the second. Love of Allah means that whatever Allah said, whatever Allah wanted and instructed, is more beloved to one of us than anything in the world. If there's a conflict in the heart, if we don't like something in the Quran, in the Sunnah, brothers in Islam, forget about the love. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Nay, by your master, by the master of the slaves, by the master of the slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they shall not believe. We will not believe until we make him a judge sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning every matter of dispute between us. When we differ on anything in Islam, we must return it to the Sunnah. Nowadays people don't like to return it to the Sunnah if the Sunnah is in contrary with their position. So they say, let me give you my intellect, brother. Allow me to impose my 2 cents, which are not even worth 2 cents. Because they're going against the Sunnah, which cannot be equated with a value. The Sunnah, the revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people don't like to refer to the Sunnah. This is deviance and a misguidance from the beginning. But then if you, in case we return it to the Sunnah, it doesn't end. Then Allah said, then they do not find within themselves any discomfort. Any discomfort regarding what you have judged. If something in the Sunnah is not pleasing to the heart, then again Allah has negated true belief from one of us. Not only we return it to the Sunnah, we find satisfaction in the results that we get from the Sunnah. Then it doesn't end. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Then they submit in full submission. Look at the words. يُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They're both derived from the same word. يَسْتَسْلِم, to surrender. يَسْتَسْلِم is to surrender. When the police put the gun to your head and you raise your hands, meaning you will not fight against them. Meaning you're willing to put your hands behind your back and be handcuffed and placed in the car. This is surrendering. And our attitude with the deen of Allah is we surrender. We don't play games. We don't debate. We don't argue. We don't dispute. If we have a misunderstanding, alhamdulillah. We ask questions and we get educated. I'm not speaking about people trying to ask to learn. I'm speaking about people who every time something doesn't make sense to them in the sunnah, they just, you know, brush it aside and say, well, this is what I see and what I feel. The sunnah maybe doesn't really explain things very well. My explanation is better. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They submit in full submission. This is what Allah said. This is love. This is love. Oh, obedience. Ta'a. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Verily the only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, that they shall say, we listen, we hear, and we obey. And it is those only who will be successful. We listen, we obey. Not we listen and we disobey, or I'm sorry, I can't hear you. They don't listen to begin with. No. We listen and we obey. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us. He said, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. Pray brothers, pray. قال ومن يأبى يا رسول الله. قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. All of my ummah, including us, inshallah, shall enter Jannah. Don't you want Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam promised us that we shall all enter Jannah. But he didn't stop. He continued. He said, except, now be careful. Be careful that you and I will fall under this exception. Because then we are basically saying we don't want Jannah. Except those who refuse. The Sahaba were shocked. Refuse? You're offering Jannah. Everyone will enter Jannah. People will refuse. Refuse, he said, yes. قالوا ومن يأبى يا رسول الله. Who will refuse, O Messenger of Allah? Who will refuse Jannah? He gave us a very brief definition of those. Whoever obeys me will enter Jannah, and whoever disobeys me has refused. Very simple. Very simple. We disobey him, we are refusing Jannah. This is what it entails, this is what it boils down to. So do we realize the dangers of disobeying him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I'm sure many of us sitting here, including myself, know many things from the sunnah. We know many things from the sunnah that came through the ahadith, which we know are obligatory. And yet we know that we deliberately abandon them. We deliberately ignore them and don't act upon them. Each one of us knows, each one of us knows what his affair is with Allah. I am warning myself and you, brother, don't continue in this fashion. Otherwise you'll be refusing Jannah. Obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's al-o. We still have T. T actually comes from an Arabic word, tawakkul. And we could say it in English, trust. So we can still use the T. Trust, tawakkul, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we don't depend on our weak selves, because we are weak. If Allah did not give us the ability to endure, we cannot even bear the heat. It's Allah who gives us every single means of maintenance. For us to be able to survive, it is by Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we rely upon Allah, we place our trust in Him. That He will give us that which is good and protect us from that which is evil. And if we don't have tawakkul, we cannot worship Allah. We cannot be slaves of Allah. If we are afraid of unlucky 13, and if we depend on lucky 7, and if you open the umbrella in the house, someone will die. And if you drop the salt shaker, I don't know what will happen. All kinds of superstitious nonsense that the disbelievers rattle about every single day of their lives. So much so that you find a big engineer, an architect, who constructs a whole building without the floor number 13. What weak approach to life. Afraid of numbers. Afraid of numbers. Afraid of anything that Allah created. Not Muslims, no. No horoscopes and none of that junk. It is Allah who runs the business from A to Z. You have a good relationship with Him, don't worry about the rest. Don't be attached to numbers or anything of this nature. Tawakkul on Allah. L-O-T-S. The first of them. The first of them is sincerity. When we do these things, we do them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, not for a popularity context. Or contest, excuse me. Not so that we can be special. Sometimes we begin with a good intention and end up with a horrible one. This is why we need to revise and revisit our intentions every single day. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ramadan is coming around inshallah. And if we remain alive and we wind up attending the Taraweeh, why are we going to Taraweeh? So the people can say that we pray Taraweeh, or so Allah will be pleased with our salah. Sincerity. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. They were only commanded to worship Allah, being sincere to Him in their religion. But the Jews and the Christians failed. We cannot afford to follow their footsteps. And the last, but not the least, the last S is that of submission. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why we are called Muslims. Islam does not mean peace. Salam means peace. Assalamu alaykum, peace be upon you. I don't say al-islamu alaykum. Islam doesn't mean peace. Islam means submission. Which brings about peace. But it doesn't mean peace. When we submit to Allah, when you declare the Shahada, whether you are Balik Islam, whether you reverted to Islam or you were born Muslim, this Shahada which we say Allahu A'lam how many times a day, it is repeating and reinforcing the idea that we have accepted Allah as our Master and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the Messenger and the example to be followed. And that cannot be accomplished without submitting. And Allah Azza wa Jal praised them. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Or is the one whom Allah has opened His chest to Islam, so he's upon a light from his God, from his Lord? Meaning, is that like the one who is not in this condition? They're not the same. When Allah opens your chest to Islam, not only to enter into the religion, but once you become a member of the Muslims, then you are willing and you love to accept everything in Islam willingly, wholeheartedly. This is a quality that is not available among most. But we need to acquire this in our lives. Whether you're a new Muslim, once you accept this religion, then you have accepted the only religion which is acceptable in the sight of Allah. It is not like any other religion. It's not like you can be a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim, whichever one you like. There's only one thing you can be, a Muslim. Anything else is the hellfire. Anything else is a loss. So when we accept the religion of truth, then let us be real men. Let us be real men and act accordingly, just like the Sahaba and the Tabi'een used to be. These are the five conditions. Lots. Love. Obedience. Trust, sincerity, and submission. Do we have them? Allah knows best. And I ask Allah to make us among those who have them. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen. Amma ba'd. Brothers in Islam, I hope by now we have all understood that for us to be true Muslims, We need to submit and become slaves of Allah. And then once we reach that level, this will lead us to worshipping Allah according to this slavery. And let it be known and understood amongst everyone here that when we say slavery to Allah, we are in fact mentioning honor and not disrespect. When Allah wanted to praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every single context in the Quran where Allah wanted to mention the favors upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He called him abd. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon a slave the book, the Quran, and He made no crookedness therein. Read the Quran from cover to cover. Every time Allah mentioned His favor upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He called him abd, a slave. So when we say we are slaves of Allah, we are in fact being honored and not being degraded. Because slavery to Allah is the ultimate slavery. Slavery to Allah is slavery to the one who will never wrong you, the one who will never oppress you, the one whose mercy has preceded His anger, the one who has only sent down of His mercy one part in this dunya and left the other 99 parts for the life to come. But His mercy is not for everyone either. His mercy is for His slaves and His worshippers. Not only His worshippers. If you're a slave, you're automatically a worshipper. If you're a worshipper, you're not necessarily a slave. This is only for them. Which means, in summary, every single moment of our lives is a continuous advancement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is to be done according to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't come worship Allah for Salatul Dhuhr and then go out the masjid and do all kinds of things which oppose slavery. That doesn't work. And that salah will not benefit correctly. It will not benefit in the ultimate sense unless the salah here will lead to slavery outside. And this is what the righteous predecessors had. If you don't believe me, then I invite you to read the biography of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Read what this man was about 700 years ago. And you will get to understand that even after the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, there shall come individuals who will truly live up to the slavery of Allah and His correct worship. That means that we could also qualify. Allah did not restrict it to them. He gave us all the opportunity to follow them. But the question is, who is willing to follow? Who is willing to take that step of manhood? Who is willing to give up his desires? Shaykh al-Islam used to say, Al-Mahbusu man hubisa an rabbih wal-ma'suru man asarahu al-hawa. The one who is imprisoned is not the one in the jail, but he is the one who's been imprisoned away from his Lord. The one who's been put behind bars would separate him from his Lord and Master. He's not a slave of Allah. And the captive, the hostage, is the one that has been held hostage by his own desires. The one who's been a captive to his own desires. This is the one who is enslaved to his own desires. Unless we're able to overcome that obstacle, we will not establish إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it is through إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ that we hope that Allah will guide us to the path in this life, in the life to come, and permit us to paradise. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me and you the understanding of the deen and to make us among His righteous servants. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.